So misery loves company. That's one of the sayings or idioms that we have in this country that I've been reminded of recently. And I bet that pretty easily you and I could think of situations where we know someone who's been in a situation of struggle or hardship. And the way that they've dealt with it is that they've wished actually nothing more than that others were experiencing hardship and difficulty as well. Or maybe not to that degree, but we probably also could think of situations where even if they weren't wishing that on others, that they were really open about their hardship, their pain, in a posture of grumbling, of complaining. And as they did so, it opened up the door for others to join them in expressing a similar complaint or grumbling or dissatisfaction with something. You know, this year, if we think about the current events and everything that's transpired, there's an element to which that saying, misery loves company, is sort of true, that the hardship and the misery has seemed to be compounding, that time after time, we're facing hardship and difficulties throughout this year in different ways of all different sorts. And we've all experienced more hardship, more misery than we'd like to. And possibly we've heard a lot of grumbling about it, or even maybe we've done our own fair share of the grumbling and joining in on that. You know, one of the common things that I've heard to help people, maybe in a way, again, of coping with the realities of this year is this phrase that we're all in this together. We're all in this together. So it's at least not that bad. You know, I've been doing a lot of thinking this week in light of Thanksgiving coming. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is that if misery loves company, or if misery breeds misery, if grumbling begets grumbling and complaining, I think so too does gratitude beget gratitude, that thankfulness breeds thankfulness, and that the gratefulness of others is actually encouraging, and it helps to remind us of ways that we too can be grateful, that gratitude is contagious. And in fact, I've experienced that this week. Now, thinking about next week being Thanksgiving and the fact that it's quite a different year. It'll be quite a different Thanksgiving for many or most of us. This coming Sunday, November 20th, we want to spend time as a community having what we're calling a Sunday of Thanksgiving and prayer. We'll spend time in worship and song and through giving and connecting. But yeah, we're going to spend extended time this Sunday connecting in our breakout rooms to pray together, to share life, to encourage one another in gratitude. You know, similar to what we did in September, the very first week of September, as we were transitioning into the fall season, we felt like God was calling us to take a Sunday that we called a prayer and blessing, to really pray over one another and bless one another as we transitioned into a fall that we knew would be difficult. And so this Sunday, we want to do something similar. And so in light of that, I wanted just to share some things with you about gratitude that I've been thinking about, that I've been encouraged in, and really to help prepare us for entering into Sunday to think intentionally about ways that we can express gratitude for things we've experienced in this season, even amidst all the hardship. You know, this fall, I've had the privilege of leading EHS, the Emotional Healthy Spirituality Cohort. And one of the key things that course leads us to think about is having a greater awareness of God and his love for us and how we respond to it, and realizing that really at the heart of what we were created for was to live in an awareness of God's love and respond to it. And I've been thinking about the fact that I think that's true about gratitude, that gratitude really only comes from a place, or for easily for those who are living in a way that they're aware of God's love and then responding to it with gratitude. One of the reflections that I've had to read in the last couple of weeks through the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Day by Day Daily Devotions comes out of Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, which many of us are probably familiar with. It's the parable of the sower. And if you're familiar with that, you remember that Jesus talks about a farmer who went out and sowed seed. And as he sowed those seeds, the seeds fell on four different terrains. One was a path, but then they got trampled. Another one was rocky ground, and so they never could take root. Another one was thorny ground, and so the, the thorns grew up around and choked out anything that tried to grow there. And the fourth soil was good soil. And Jesus says there that the seed on the good soil, it stands for those with a noble and a good heart, those who hear the word, retain it, and by perceiving it, produce a crop. And I thought it was really intriguing that phrase, that the good soil represents those with a noble and a good heart. Thomas Merton, who is a Catholic monk, a mystic, a poet, and a writer, he has this to say about that noble heart and that noble posture, that good heart, and what it looks like to be aware of the love of God and receive the good seeds. Thomas Merton writes, and he says, every moment and every event of every man's life on earth plants something in his soul. For just as the wind carries thousands of winged seeds, so each moment brings with it germs of spiritual vitality that come to rest imperceptibly in the minds and wills of humanity. Most of these unnumbered seeds perish and are lost because we are not prepared to receive them. For such seeds as those cannot spring up anywhere except in the good soil of freedom, spontaneity, and love. This is no new idea. Christ, in the parable of the sower, long ago told us that the seed is the word of God. And we often think that this applies only to the word of the gospel as formally preached in churches on Sundays. But every expression of the will of God is in some sense a word of God, and therefore a seed of new life. The ever-changing reality in the midst of which we live should awaken us to the possibility of an uninterrupted dialogue with God. We must learn to realize that the love of God seeks us in every situation and seeks our good. We must learn to realize that the love of God seeks us in every situation and seeks our good. I've been reflecting upon that phrase in particular in light of the events of this year, and been journaling and just thinking about how have I been able to realize the love of God at work in the current situation that I'm living in or not? Or how have I been aware of or not aware of God seeking my good, even in the midst of the hardship, the challenges, the struggles of this year? And so as I've been thinking, kind of forced or encouraged to think about those things the last couple of weeks through EHS, I wanted to share some thoughts with you about Thanksgiving and about gratitude, because really that's where that journaling has led me to a posture of gratitude. And yeah, the timing is impeccable. That's great. I've realized that giving thanks is an important part of our discipleship, that really it's central to being transformed into the people that God created us to be and that he wants us to be. That growing in that awareness of God's love and then responding to it with gratitude in the midst of every situation and circumstance is a key part of growing emotionally and spiritually healthy, and then also becoming the people that God intends for us to be. You know, some would actually say that lack of gratitude is partly what was at the heart of the very first sin committed by Adam and Eve. Some would say that the serpent tricked them into focusing on what God would not allow them to have, even though God made those restrictions out of love and care for them. But instead, the enemy tricked them and allowed their eyes to be focused on everything that God was not allowing them to have, as opposed to focusing on what God lovingly gave them and entrusted them. That there was an element of lack of gratitude at play for Adam and Eve. And that led them to follow the temptation of the enemy and ultimately land into a place of sin and of death. See, gratitude being practiced is a discipline. And when we practice it that way, it actually serves as a weapon that God's given us to combat, push back against the lies and the temptation of the evil one. That gratefulness is an exercise in remembering who God is and what he's done for us, and even some of the restrictions and limits that he's placed in our lives, and understanding those as being an expression of his love, but at those being an expression of his goodness in our lives, as Merton says. And that gratitude is an exercise then in remembering, which is actually one of the most often given commands all throughout scripture. You know, I was thinking this week about that phrase, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And as I journaled it, I wanted to then go and look it up. I knew that it appeared in Psalm 100. But as I Googled it, I found out that it actually appears far more than I was aware of. It's not only in Psalm 100, but it's also Psalm 106 and Psalm 107 and Psalm 118 and Psalm 136. But not only is it a frequent statement in the Psalms, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, that same exact phrase appears. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and then again in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the same refrain appears. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We see it also in Ezra chapter 3 and in Jeremiah 33. And as I begin to look at the times and the manner and the circumstances in which that phrase, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, is used, the context, that it's not always good, it's not always pleasant, it's not always positive. But there's actually a good number of times in which that refrain is sung, or that is stated as a phrase that the people were to repeat together in seasons in which it was actually really difficult. They were living in really trying circumstances. And yet they did that as a practice, as an exercise of thanksgiving, in acknowledging God's providence, acknowledging God's goodness, even in the midst of really difficult and trying seasons of life. It made me think too of Paul's letters and how thanksgiving and gratitude are part of every single one of Paul's letters, that Paul has actually a really deep theology of gratitude and thanksgiving. But I thought in particular of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where Paul writes and he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing with the purpose of encouraging the church in the midst of some pretty dire circumstances. There'd been a number of unexpected and sudden deaths within their community. And there's also a lot of persecution going on at the time that Paul's writing that letter. And he's writing to them to remind them to live prepared for the day of Jesus's return. So even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of death, Paul is writing to remind them that both the living and the dead someday will be raised again at the return of Christ. And so how ought Christians to live in light of this day and in seeking Christ and his return? I want to read for you the context of that verse that Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse 12, it says this. He says, we ask you then, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. And I thought it was interesting that Paul here in the closing of this first letter to the church in Thessalonica, he's writing about Christian living. And again, how ought they to live in light of the coming day of Christ? And I want to repeat for you again, just kind of hear the context in which Paul calls them for gratitude in the midst of all circumstances. He calls them to respect authority. He calls them to speak well of and love those that God has appointed to lead in their lives. He calls them to be peacemakers. He calls us to serve the weak, encourage the faint-hearted, spur on those who aren't being fruitful. Be a person of patience. Be people of forgiveness. Be those who seek the good of others. That we're to be a people of prayer and a people of rejoicing. He says, be spirit-filled and spirit-led people. Be discerning and live holy lives. Live set apart in light of knowing that Christ is returning. So live prepared, seeking his day of his return. And in the midst of all of that, Paul writes and says, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I think even just the context in which Paul calls for gratitude and giving of thanks in the midst of all circumstances, in light of ranked with all those other things, I don't think many of us would say, you know, if we were to ask you, you know, what would be your top 10 list possibly of things that you believe that God would be calling you towards as a disciple of Jesus, things in which God is wanting to transform you, even tools that God wants to use to transform your life. I think a lot of us would say a lot of those things: serve, encourage, be prayerful, be fruitful, be patient, be forgiving. I don't know that many of us would actually think of our list, be a person of gratitude, as within maybe even a top 10 list of how God is expressing his will towards us in Christ, how God is forming and bringing about his will in our lives, how God is bringing about transformation and transforming us into the people that he desires us to be through gratitude. And one of the things I was thinking about in light of all this too is, you know, we don't get to control the seasons or the circumstances of our lives. They happen to us, but we do get to choose how we respond. And I think that's part of what Paul is saying, is that in all circumstances of life, because we're not in control of it, what we do have though is the ability to control how we respond. And the call for us as followers of Jesus would be to acknowledge and remember how God's love is at work through all of it, how God is seeking our good in the midst of everything, and to respond with gratitude in the midst of every season and every circumstance of life, because this is God's will for us. This is the way that God is going to transform and bring about what he desires in our lives and even through our lives in the world. You know, Parker Palmer, who's a great author one that really causes me to think, challenges me in my thinking, he says that in dark seasons or darker seasons of life, if we look more deeply, we may see the myriad of possibilities being planted to bear fruit in some season yet to come. He says again that if we look more deeply, as opposed to just kind of looking at the surface of our circumstances and judging things just on the surface level, but in dark seasons, if we look more deeply and give ourselves the ability and the patience to look and to kind of sift through some of the darkness, some of the hardship, some of the misery, we see that there's a myriad of possibilities being planted, even in the midst of the darkness, to bear fruit in some season yet to come. You know, it reminds me that, you know, gratitude, it leads us in our hearts to be closer to God in his heart. But even in the midst of darkness, in the midst of hardship, that ultimately what God wants is closeness with us. He wants us to be close to him through his son, Jesus, both in relationship and in becoming more like him. That ultimately that's what God wants. I think too, that's part of what Paul is saying when he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That what God wants more than anything is to be close in relationship with us. And really that's the season that we're going to celebrate after Thanksgiving, as we enter into Advent, is the fact and the reality that God wants to be close to us, so close to us in relationship and in our thinking and in our living and in our attitude, that God wants our hearts. He wants our affections. And he stopped at nothing, even sending and giving his son into the world in order that we'd be close to him, that he'd be close to us, that in seeing Christ and responding to Christ, that our hearts and our affections would be turned towards God, even as his are turned towards us. And really that's the heart of gratitude, that it leads us in our hearts to be turned towards God, acknowledging his love and his goodness towards us in the midst of all seasons. You know, worldly gratitude focuses on tangible things. It focuses on blessings that we should see and that we should celebrate. But the heart of biblical gratitude and biblical thanksgiving, it goes a step further, and it leads us to think about the love of God and to worship God in light of his love for us. It leads us to remember that the one who loves us and gives us all things is God himself, and that he cares for us in the midst of everything, all chaos, all uncertainty, all hardship, that God is with us, that God loves us, that he is providentially caring for us. And so I'm reminded again, of just Thomas Merton's words, that we must learn to realize that the love of God seeks us in every situation, and he seeks our good. Again, this Sunday, November 20th, in order to prepare our hearts and just to engage in Thanksgiving together, this Sunday will be a Sunday of Thanksgiving and prayer. And we want to spend some extended time to connect, as I said earlier, in the breakout rooms, to share a little bit of what's going on in life, to share and think of ways that we're grateful, and to pray together and to pray for one another. And so there's two questions that I want to invite you to think of and consider as you listen to this and in preparing to come in to worship together on Sunday. You know, what are one or two things that you can appreciate or you can express thanksgiving to God for from this season of life? And I'd encourage you to think of Parker Palmer's words again, that maybe in the midst of the hardship, it's real easy just to kind of evaluate or judge things on a surface level. But if you look a little more deeply, you might see a myriad of possibilities, a myriad of things that you can be grateful for, that you can express thanksgiving and appreciation for, even in the midst of the hardship of this season. And the second question then is, what's God planting in your soul in this season? If you think about this season of life and God being a sower, Christ being a sower, and him watering and planting seeds in your life right now, what are those seeds that he's planting that may not bear fruit right now in this season in light of the context and the circumstances, but that God is planting something in your heart, something in your mind, something in your soul right now, even in the midst of everything that's going on, that will bear fruit down the road? And maybe that too, it ought to be and could be a source of gratitude and realizing that there's different seasons and different times in which God plants and God waters and ultimately then bears fruit for a future time. And maybe how that too is a cause for celebration of thanksgiving and of gratitude. You know, Missy, I think, one of the things God's really challenging and encouraging me in recently through, again, EHS and through engaging in the daily office is that reminder that God is always at work in the midst of everything. And my growth, one of my growth edges is to grow in really being more aware of how God is at work, how God has always a loving disposition towards me, that his goodness is always moving towards me, that he lovingly cares for me and my family and our community. And I need to learn how to be more aware, more attuned to his love and his goodness, his presence, in order that I can respond in a way that allows me to be more grateful, to take a more humble position, a more humble posture that leads me to gratitude, you know, not just for things and for stuff and those sorts of blessings, but ultimately to be grateful for him, for his love, his loving disposition, and his care in my life. And when I do that, it moves me closer to him. And it really does, the gratitude really does begin to change and transform. It shifts my way of thinking, my way of being then, also in the world. And what I found is that, yeah, my own gratitude is then contagious, that my own posture of seeing who God is and acknowledging his love at work and sharing that with others, it helps them to do that as well. And so this Sunday, we're going to take time to do that, to lead one another in that posture of humility, of recognition and acknowledging God's love and God's goodness at work in the midst of this season, and to express the ways that we're thankful for who God is, for how he loves us, and for him ultimately being the provider and giver of all the things that we have. Missio, I love you. Our community is one of the things that God reminds me over and over that I have great reason to be grateful for. And you are often a reminder, an extension of God's love to me and for me and in my family. And so I'm thankful for you in this season. And I look forward to being with you this Sunday, November 20th, to celebrate, or next November 22nd, to celebrate Thanksgiving together through a time of prayer and thanksgiving and blessing. So look forward to seeing you then. Love you, Missio. God bless. And we'll talk to you soon.